Auto Press episode 36.
Stuart's age.
Oh,
jumped the gun last week.
You've been holding on to that one.
Yeah, I was ready for that.
I always tell people, I was going to say something, and I never know what you're going to say. I should have seen that coming.
Mm-hmm. You gave it to me last week.
Yeah. But anyway, this week, a little treat for you. We had Ryan French on, who is also known as Monday Q
Info.
Monday Q Info. Yep. On Twitter, easiest way to find him. Interesting conversation, just kind of how the thing got started. Some interesting things him and his dad used to do of just going to mini tours.
It's kind of funny. We got talking to him, and he kind of admitted that he didn't really know what he was doing with Twitter and everything, which made me question how does he get all this info even more? Like, if you can't, I'm not saying he can't figure out Twitter. He does a great job of Twitter. But how's he getting down these rabbit holes with where he's got info on every single person that teed it up in the Dakota tour last week?
I mean,
it's incredible.
It's crazy.
Great job. And he's transitioned a lot. I remember first when he started, he'd only show like the top six guys. And then you'd have to kind of go hunt for the results. And he started posting all the results, which I've really enjoyed. It's been good.
Yeah, it's a great follow. Like I told him. I somehow ran across the account when I was trying to follow random Monday qualifiers, and I found him. He's got 22,000 followers, and as he says, he really doesn't know what he's doing. He's just finding information. He's got just people sending him stories.
He had a really good article. I know we had retweeted it. It was back on August 14th maybe. Golf.com did an article on him.
I think it was Golf Magazine.
Golf Magazine. Hopefully it's one of the ones that didn't go after Brendan. But we'll try and find that and retweet it because it kind of gave a little bit more of a background. I know he talked a lot about it, but gave some more personal stuff, talking more about his journey through life, which is really good stuff. And he's just trying to bring some info to the game to the casual golfer that they wouldn't normally get. And hopefully he's able to turn this into something where we're able to get some more coverage, maybe even some live stuff on site. Not sure what his plan's going to be, but he said something's in the works, so that'll be great.
Yeah, so we told him he has to come back on to tell us when it's allowed to be shared.
Yeah, man, there were other questions like Brendan Todd won a qualifier by 5. That's got to be a record, right?
I mean, who knows?
It's funny, you do these and then you think of questions after the fact.
Well, that's why you can always have them back in. But
it was fun.
Listen to the end because we asked him a couple questions and he had some good answers to would he ever have JP Caddy, and also what's his favorite auto press, because he plays a lot of his golf at a municipal golf course, and he gave probably my favorite auto press that we've heard so far. So be sure to listen to the end. And got anything else, JP?
No. DJ Trahan back to the tour via Korn Ferry Finals. That was exciting.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of, once Brendan got in the Korn Ferry, I was just kind of like,
Brendan
well.
Got in, Dom didn't, and I didn't follow anything this weekend. So we're off for like a week with golf and back with the Greenbrier next week, where Streb has had good success, and maybe he can do it again there.
Yeah, so anyway, we hope you enjoy the interview, and if you like it, subscribe, leave us a rating.
Subscribe anyway.
Yeah, you don't even have to like it, just subscribe.
Yeah.
Anyway, enjoy it. Thanks. All right, AutoPress audience, got a great treat for y'all tonight. If you are on Twitter at all and you see us interact with A Case of the Golf 1, or also known as Monday Q, Ryan is joining us tonight. He's got 22,000 followers. I mean, Ryan, did you ever think that this account would have 22,000 followers?
I didn't think. I thought 2,000 would be crazy. I didn't even think past 500. You know, I mean, really, I started it to have something to do. I became a stay-at-home dad, and I mean, I honestly thought if it had 500 followers, that'd be a lot. I never thought this far ahead, to be honest with you, because I never thought it would get this big.
Yeah, I remember. Obviously, anybody that listens to know that we follow Brendan Todd religiously. And for a while there, he was doing a lot of Monday qualifiers. And for myself, it was always a pain to try to find where the Monday qualifier was, what PGA section you had to find, and all that. So I somehow stumbled upon your Twitter account when you started posting, and I'm like, oh man, this is everything I've been looking for on the Monday qualifiers. Was that kind of what led you to start the account, or?
Yeah. So a little bit about the backstory to how I got there is, so my dad and I played college golf, and then at a junior college, tried to walk on at Michigan State and just wasn't good enough, quite frankly. And then after college, my dad and I would go to a mini tour and caddy like twice a year. It was really fun.
Just for fun, or were you taking a check from these guys?
I mean, I was taking a small check, but yeah.
That wasn't your drive.
No, it wasn't our drive. I mean, we were making like $200, and you know, we were saying that we weren't making any money by any means. It was like the thing for my dad and I to do together.
Yeah.
So from there, I worked, and then my son had some health issues. And my wife and I decided I'd stay home for a little bit. And it really was, I was checking in on guys that I had met, friends that I had met through caddying. And really that was the intention, guys, is like, it was going to be like a one-stop shop for people. It is hard to find. I mean, they're easier to find now, but you never know what section it's in and all those kind of stuff. So really the start of the account was have all the Monday qualifiers in one place. Have like mini tour events in one place, those kind of things. It's just kind of evolved from there to what it kind of is now.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been following the Monday qualifiers too for a while and struggling with the same thing. I've got a feeling that your account actually kind of helped stir up more, response from some of these sections to really start getting the info out there. I mean, it was kind of hand in hand when your account started taking off that these section events, some of you do live scoring.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I was when, Josh and I did the interview for the Golf Magazine article the account's gotten, although it's more hectic because I have a lot of like things going on, it's easier from that standpoint because the sections want the publicity. So they're like more willing to help, or members of the course are there and willing to help. So from that standpoint, it's gotten much easier because someone's like willing to follow the playoff and give me reports and those kind of things. Whereas, you know, when I didn't have as many followers, it was more difficult. So definitely from that standpoint, the account has gotten easier.
With all that getting easier, and the golf.com article, have you been approached by anybody to make this like a job where you cover for PGAtour.com and have all the insight that you have?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple conversations. I hope to have someone like announcements. It seems like way too important. I hope to have something in place, here soon. But nothing's finalized, but you know, I have to believe that there's a more platform for it, like to get a podcast going or someone. I mean, I hope that I can continue to go. I mean, the fact is I didn't intend to stay home this long, so I need to monetize it in some ways at some point, right, in order for me to keep staying home. So, yeah, I mean, I hope something comes of it here in the next month. There are some conversations happening for sure.
Well, that's awesome.
It's crazy.
From all the, I was just thinking about this tonight, kind of looking through your Twitter account to get prepared for this. So do you have like an Excel spreadsheet prepared for all the golfers and all their wins and starts and money that they've won where you can just total it up and click on there and say, you know, this guy had, I mean, a lot of things that, I mean, the thing you put up tonight about the pre-qualifier for the Greenbrier. I mean, people wouldn't think about that. It has all of that, you know, USAM champ, a guy who finished top five. And I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it kind of goes along with the account evolving. At first, no, because I never thought I would do it over and over again. So, like, I would do a field strength of, like, wins, and I would have it on a piece of paper, and I'd be like, oh, this will never come into account again, you know, so I never kept it. But as the account has evolved, yeah, I've gotten more notes. So, like, when I do wins or earnings or those kind of things, I can just plug in who's in the field and who's not in the field. Most of these Monday qualifiers, there's a large portion of the big names stay the same. So, but as far as like the, I don't really have a plan day to day. I know people don't think that, like the big ones that take a lot of time, like field strength, those, yes, I have those planned ahead. But like today I was just looking at the pre-Q field and I was like, wow, this is a really strong pre-qualifying field. Like Brad Adamanis and Chip has lost his, you know, being able to skip pre-Q because it's new season. And then Austin Truslow, same thing. And he's had a good year. And then
how does that work though? Because like, I thought that if you had done it in the calendar year, you could get through pre-qual.
So the, how it works is,
oh, I get it. This isn't Q school we're talking about. You're talking about the Greenbrier. We're already there.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Talking about the Greenbrier. Sorry.
I misread your tweet earlier and I was like, no way, no way does Chip McDaniel have to go to pre-qual for Q school.
No. Right. Okay. No. Okay. No, it's a pre-qual for Greenbrier because it's technically a new season. So like Chip McDaniel does, or Austin Truslow doesn't have any status.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I hope I put Greenbrier in the tweet.
No, you did it. This is all on me. Sometimes I'm a little slow.
What has Chip McDaniel, has he been your favorite Monday qualifier story of the year? Or, I mean, you got,
I mean, it really has been. I mean, I know I make like jokes about it, but it really has been the year of the Monday qualifier. I mean, I owe Corey Connors a beer for sure.
That's right.
When he won, you know, those, there's like been moments where the account has taken off, and I think it just put some legitimacy, Corey's win, to Monday qualifiers in general and the field and how good they are and those kind of things. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, Chip McDaniel's story was a huge story from just a logistics standpoint. Obviously, it didn't work out in his favor from a results base, but his grind was unreal, obviously, and like flying across the country and those kind of things. So,
well, now you got a little Twitter campaign going for Chip, it seemed like, to get into, was it the Rocket Mortgage Classic?
Yeah, we helped him get into the Rocket Mortgage. You know, I think that, I mean, you know, Brent, you guys know Brendan, so, you know, I think that we just got to change that, the tour and the casual golf. I think the casual golf fan didn't know this one, huh? And then I think that we got to get the tour to care more about the guys that need starts the most, you know? I mean, obviously Brendan next year will have his starts, but like he was looking for starts. There's, you know, 50 guys like Brendan out there that are trying to get their career back on the path, and you know, the tour just doesn't really care about them. So it's been, you know, I think that I hope that the account and those kind of things kind of bring it to light, you know?
What kind of change could they make though? I mean, these guys lose their status and
I don't think they definitely haven't made any changes, for sure yet, but I hope that it just brings it to the forefront. I mean, they're actually going in the opposite direction. I mean, opposite field events are going to be smaller next year. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I get a little bit of the Corn Ferry. They cut the Monday qualifiers down to 8. Now I think there's a good reason in the background for that, but
the pay to play.
No. So, there is going to be, the 2 through 5 on the Latin American Tour, Canadian Tour and China Tour had pretty crappy status. And so their status will get better. So in order to do that, they had to, I think it's well-deserved. Because if you have
Trevor Sluman.
Yeah, for sure. So if you play a whole season and have a good season on a PGA Tour, a PGA sanctioned tour, you should have decent status at least. So I get that part of it. But I just think that I hope that they start to at least see that this story can be told, and hopefully it changes. But obviously it's not right now.
I mean, with all the stuff that you're coming up with, I mean, I saw some LPGA stuff, some European Q school stuff. Do you sleep?
I mean, I'm up pretty early, so I get up about 4:30. My son gets up around 4:30 every day, and so a lot of my work is done in the morning. And then I'm lucky enough to be a stay-at-home dad, and now that school started for my daughter, it's gotten a lot easier. I plant myself out on the patio, and my son plays in the backyard, so there's plenty of time for it. And then, like I said, as the account's grown, people send me stuff a lot of the day. And so, you know, they're like, hey, did you see this or did you see that? And sometimes I've seen it and sometimes I haven't. So from that aspect, it's gotten a little bit easier. I mean, I've got, today is a perfect example. I got a scorecard from the Portugal golf tour, which I have never heard of in my life. I mean, I'm not going to use it, but it was like, I mean, I appreciate the guy sending it to me.
What did he shoot? And,
he shot 68. I mean, it was a pretty crazy card, but some of the cards I've posted are so crazy that it's hard to be topped. You know what I mean? So
what event were you talking about yesterday where it was, you were up at 3 a.m. thinking about somebody who finished second after a Monday qualifier and didn't get in?
Yeah, so the LPGA Tour does not have, you know, I mean, again, it just brings up the point that Monday qualifiers and guys grinding are just, the tours just don't care about them from that standpoint. So the LPGA is probably the most closed door tour there is. And Yalimi, I believe that's how you say your name, Yalimi No, was a Monday qualifier. She turned pro when she was 17. And she finished second. She was leading most of last Sunday, and then she lost on 18. And it's just, and they're not exempt. On the LPGA Tour, you're not exempt into the next event if you're not a member. Unless you win, you can't get into the next week unless you Monday qualify again.
It's really? Is there any, like reshuffle or anything down the road, or?
There's no reshuffle. You cannot. The only way you can get status being a Monday qualifier is earn the same amount of money as the 40th on the money list at the end of the year. But doesn't get you into any events. It doesn't. It's impossible. I mean, the girl has finished as Monday qualified twice, finished sixth and second, and she's going to have to go back to second stage of Q school. So. And so the tours, like even the tours are very helpful on like what, you know, like, hey, I'm glad you're telling me these stories and those kind of things. And I asked the tour, I have one of the PR people follows me and she's messaged me and she's been very helpful. And I just asked her like, hey, what's the reason behind this rule? And she's like, I don't know. I'll ask the people and get back to you. And she hasn't got back to me. And I mean, she may very well, but it just seems that like if the girl led the golf tournament for like three quarters of it, lost on 18, and there's not even a Monday qualifier on the LPGA Tour for three more weeks. So outside of a sponsor's exemption, she can't play.
And she's finished top 10 as well twice.
Yeah. Well, the LPGA's, I mean, they're all screwed up. They still let Lexi and Thompson play.
Yeah,
and she cheated like five times.
That's another hill JP's death has died on a few times.
Yeah, interesting.
I stand tall on that one.
What's
so it's like it's such a closed door. I mean, the Champions Tour is obviously.
I think he agrees with me about Lexi. By the way, the way he laughed.
Yeah, the Champions Tour. You're right. That's a very closed door.
I had somebody tell me today. They were like, yeah, my buddy's getting ready for the Champions Tour Q School. I'm like, what? Like you realize he's got to play against guys like Ken Duke,
and there are about three spots.
Yeah,
yep. There's like, five spots, and there's going to be everybody. I mean, like every year at Q School for Champions Tour, I'm like, wow, he's got to go to Q School. Wow, he's got to go to Q School.
It's unbelievable. Like,
it's crazy, and there's five spots, and it's a hard five, and they don't care. Like, I mean, I think the tour would have it, if they could, would have it like 20 guys, you know, like all the big names just playing week after week, but they have to make it somewhat of an event. So
I guess, I mean, I caddied the senior PGA this year. And yeah. Some of those old guys that are still playing, they're not getting anybody to come watch them. It's
yeah.
And they're embarrassing themselves to an extent. I mean,
yeah, as far as I know, that tour loses more than the Corn Ferry tour, but I mean, that's all rumors. I don't know anything about that. I mean, I don't know any hard things about that, but
so what was the moment with this Twitter? When did you start the Twitter account? How long ago?
Well, a year, 14 months ago, 15 months ago.
Wow. I must have found it pretty early on. I felt like it was longer than that. But yeah, so
go ahead.
What's been kind of what was the moment when you knew this account was taken off?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple moments. I mean, the biggest one that I think was probably like, wow, I really need to pay attention, was like the PGA Tour themselves followed me, and they just don't follow that many people. And
yeah.
And I think it was around my 10,000 follower. It was not my exactly 10,000, but it was around there. And I was like, you know, that was kind of my aha moment, that I was like, I guess I need to figure out what I'm doing with this thing. And that was one of the big ones. I mean, I'm just a golf nerd, man. And I get like when big names follow me or people from the Golf Channel follow me, it definitely hasn't worn off. I still be like, oh, that's cool. Like Mike Tirico followed me about a month and a half ago.
That's pretty cool.
That is really cool. Jimmy Roberts. I mean, it's like I still definitely feel like it's really cool. I'm very appreciative of everybody. I mean, I can't thank everyone enough. The messages I get from people, it's been awesome. So, the biggest moment I would say is when the tour themselves followed me.
What about as far as your favorite interaction? I mean, you got Shane Bacon tweeting at you. I've seen multiple Golf Channel people that'll quote your tweets, you know, and say something. Is there anybody that kind of stands out with those?
Yeah, I mean, Shane Bacon has been very cool. Brendan Steele has been awesome. Harold Varner's been really cool. He's been very helpful. All the guys at No Laying Up have been awesome to me. The Golf Channel, I mean, Chantel McCabe has been great.
Have you met her?
Yeah, I did a podcast with her.
Oh, JP's so jealous right now.
I'm more into Baleonis.
Yeah, so she does.
She just got engaged. She's off. But Baleonis is still out there.
Yeah, she does lacrosse for NBC Sports too.
The PPL or whatever, professional.
Yeah, and she was here in Chicago. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, all those things are like when. I mean, I say it all the time. Like, when I started this account, did I ever think that I'd be on a phone with two guys that have a great podcast like this? This is still, like, it's still cool.
Don't pump our tires too much here.
I mean, it's still very, like, it's still, that part of it has definitely not worn off. I still think it's cool.
I do have one question, and it's just a curiosity thing, but your handle is A Case of the Golf 1. You do know, I think... Do you ever think about changing that to like Monday Qual? Or I think you can change it and still keep the own thing.
Yeah, I can. So I say this all the time. It's like, if I would have thought that I had more than 100 followers, I would have put some time into it. So the original thought was like A Case of the Golf Mondays. Case of the Mondays. So, and then
I just thought you just had A Case of the Golf.
Yeah. So now that we're here, it's kind of weird, like it's kind of taken off. But if I get a job or something comes of it, I don't want to change it more than one more time.
Sure.
So I'm going to kind of let those things settle in.
I'm going to go start making a bunch of Monday qualifier accounts and then have to sell it back to you.
I got bad news for you. I already have the Monday qualifier handle.
Oh, I just searched at that. That wasn't even your name.
Sorry, man. Sorry.
It just says golfer.
Yeah, I thought that far ahead, at least.
You actually got followers too. Sorry, we got you off track there.
No, it's okay. No, I mean, I probably will change it, but I'm only going to change it once. So if something comes of this, if like I get a podcast or whatever comes of it, I'm going to only want to change it once. So
hey, we can teach you how to start a podcast. You give us about 30 minutes and we can have you set up.
Well, you were saying you did one. Sorry? You have your own then already with Chantel?
My own podcast?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I have everything ready. It's just not.
Oh. Where could I listen to the Chantel McCabe one?
So she is doing some stuff for Golf Channel, like on a podcast.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that was early on that that I did it with her.
Gotta get belly on us, then we're all right.
So I guess we've kind of touched on this, but I mean, bigger plans for the account. Obviously, you got some stuff in the works. I don't want to get too much into that, but I mean, I guess the amazing thing that I think people don't realize is that you've started an account that is just about Monday qualifying, and you've got 22,000 people that are interested enough to dig into it. I mean, that's the crazy thing about golf, and golf is just it's just such a small world. And I think that's great that all the people helping you out with it too now. I mean, when you send tweet out live playoffs from the Monday qualifier of, I mean, say the Valspar, and I was always wondering, I was like, where are you getting this information?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, what I've done is, I mean, there's no secrets anymore. People know what it is, but like for the most part, I have either like a caddy or a member at the club. That's the easiest, 'cause then you don't have to worry about like the caddy being in the playoff or whatever.
Right.
And then they just feed me shot by shot. I mean, hopefully next year some things take off and I'll be at a large portion of the Monday qualifiers.
I thought it would be great TV.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really think that there's so much that can be told about this.
It would be way better than watching Hank Haney try to teach some bimbo golf on a Monday night or whatever else they're programming on Golf Channel now.
Yeah. I mean, I really think that I mean, it's hard to tell a story in 280 characters. You know what I mean? So I think that there's so many layers to this grind. I mean, I would give anything to go back in time and follow Brendan's like path over the last 3 years, you know? I mean, that would make an amazing documentary, especially now that he's got his card back.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, it wouldn't have been that great of a story, but if you knew the ending, it'd been a hell of a story.
We're not at the ending yet.
No,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's winning. Yeah, I mean, if you follow Brendan guys don't go that long and then come back generally, but like on a yearly slump and come back the next year, I mean, like with him doing what he's done now, that would be a made documentary, in my opinion.
Have you followed any, do you follow much college golf?
I don't a ton. I mean, I really, most of my golf nerdery is really centered on like this stuff. I don't follow a ton of college. I follow more now. Obviously, some people send it to me and I just need to know like who's getting into it. And I run into a lot of guys that have just turned pro or whatever, but yeah, I don't follow a ton of college golf.
I just didn't know if you were getting your research ready for the next batch of Monday qualifiers coming out there.
Donated.
Yeah. I mean, I do a little bit for sure. I try to get as much ahead of it as I can, but really like what I do, like kind of my process like this week is I just quickly run through the pre-qualifiers and see who's new and like look them up and see what it is and then start to build my database off that. Because generally if they're at one, they're going to be at bunch and eventually they'll come up, you know, to the Monday qualifiers and eventually they'll be. And I try to talk to as many guys as I can. just to get their story ahead of it. And when their story comes up, then
yeah, those,
I have it ready. I feel it ready for the most part.
Yeah, I feel like it's really, I mean, as everything evolves, but now I feel like you have a backstory on so many of these guys that people don't know anything about. And I think that's what it's the human interest part of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I've changed about the account, as it's grown now, is I'm not as reactionary, you know, like I talk to guys as much as I can, just send them a quick message. Hey, where'd you go to school? You know, like, where have you been? Where have you played? Those kind of things. And then I can get most of the information about it. And I just try to talk to as many, like if I see him winning a mini tour event, or I see him like top five or have a good round in a mini tour and they follow me, then I'll just send them a message. And I've been more proactive instead of reactive. So that part has definitely changed, because people, the expectations have changed of the account for sure. Like, people expect me to have their story. Like, I get questions that I'm like, I don't even know. Like, oh, where's this guy? I'm like, dude, I don't know where that guy came from. I don't know who that guy is. I've never heard of him in my life.
But you're supposed to. Right. Yeah, why, like, do you not?
Like, yeah, he's like, what do you mean you don't know? I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like, the guy who sent me the Portugal thing, he's like, do you know about this tournament? Like, man, I don't know about the Portugal Pro tournament.
I want to look that up. See,
I know I'm a golf nerd. I know I'm a golf nerd, but I mean, well,
golf nerd. I'm right there with you. You mentioned the pre-qualifier. I want to do it. Have you seen the movie Step Brothers?
Oh yeah.
You remember when they say, what's your favorite dinosaur? And then they become best friends.
Yes.
So I've got a favorite name from the pre-qualifier for the Greenbrier. Okay. Somebody that I haven't heard from. I don't want to give you a hint, but I wrote it down so Stuart can see it.
Yeah, it's Bo Titsworth.
No.
that's a good name, though.
Oklahoma. Give me one more.
All right, hold on. I got to think of who else is in the field.
Yeah.
Who has a great name in the...
Well, he does actually have a great name, but that's not necessarily how I picked him out. It's just like his whole history, his background, how he's still chasing it. There's a little bit of a hint.
Stephen Gangliff?
No.
He's one of the four guys you mentioned on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Bubba Dickerson?
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Oh, Brad. Oh, Brad and Matt.
Bubba Dickerson. No,
Bubba. Oh, Bubba Dickerson, yeah.
I didn't even see your tweet about it. That's funny. So we were on the right page at some point.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's still grinding. He won the USAM, didn't he?
Yes.
Back in like 2001?
Yeah, I didn't know how long ago was it. I sure didn't think it was that long ago.
It's crazy.
He was playing the Nationwide Tour up in Rochester, the Xerox Classic in like 2003. And he missed the cut, and I went and played Oak Hill with him on that Saturday. And that was a really tough round for me, because I had a big Friday night. And I barely woke up, but it was like play with Bubba Dickerson at Oak Hill. And
do it.
I'm always like, I mean, Brad Adamonis is the same thing. I mean, the guy's 46 now. He's obviously reached the point where, like, what else are you gonna do besides wait till 50 now that you've played this long? But I mean, the guy has over $1 million from PGA Tour winnings. I mean, I know that doesn't mean that's not a ton of money when you start to do all the math, but
there had to be other stuff to go along with it.
Yeah, and I mean, he's got a Corn Ferry win. He's like 230 starts, and he's at a pre-qualifier. And I just, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it from a financial standpoint, family standpoint.
Those
kind of things. I just don't know how they do it.
And that's the thing, like Bubba Dickerson, he's got to be 2 or 3 years older than me. I remember being at the Future Masters in Dothan, Alabama, and he was like 16, and he just wore everybody out that week. And then he goes on, wins the USAM. You know, I think he left Florida after a couple of years. I don't know if he had to leave or he left on his own. But, and I mean, he is still out there grinding and going to a pre-qualifier. That is
It's nuts.
That is nuts.
Right.
It is nuts. I mean, like, listen, I mean, I'm all for a good story. I 100% like, but there's definitely a part of me that sees guys like that. And it's like, I mean, honestly, I don't know how they do it. And I don't know how to ask that. I don't know how to say, like, why do you keep doing this? So, I mean, I don't.
He's got nothing else to do.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I give him credit. I give him a lot of credit for still being out there. I just don't know if I could do it, like, if I was in that position.
Like, I mean, a guy like, even like Scott Harrington, who, you know, got through on the year-long Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a guy, he's a couple years older than me. I remember him from amateur tournaments growing up, or should say when I was in college. I cannot imagine still being out there playing,
I don't know,
you know, in two or three more years and have never had PGA Tour status, and then you get it.
Bubba Dickerson has not played a PGA Tour sanctioned event since 15, by the way.
I mean, still chasing it.
I don't know how, like, I had a tweet. It was Harrington, Baker, Vince Covello, and Rob Oppenheim. And Oppenheim's, like, been up and down from the tour, so it's not really part of the tweet, but he was, like, those guys had been to Q school 42 times combined.
Oh, I saw that. Oh,
I mean, that's insanity. That's $210,000 in just entry fees to Q school. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me that it, like, that they've persevered to get to that point. I mean, hell, they got to have a good season on PGA Tour to break even for their career.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it really is. I don't know how Vince Covello or Scott Harrington even get to the point of getting their PGA Tour card, because, I mean, I would have given up a long time ago. I know that.
Is Q school like the World Series for an account Monday qualifier?
I say two things for sure is, that is definitely one, but the Honda Monday is pretty much the Super Bowl of the account. I think the Honda Monday qualifier is better than all of the Corn Ferry finals, fields.
No, why is that?
Just because everyone from Florida, like every player from Florida, like some guys don't want to travel to Monday qualifiers. Like if they don't have status, they'll just wait, right? Like Brennan's unusual. But like Ben Crane is a perfect example. Ben Crane has 5 PGA Tour wins, but has lost status for the most part. And so, but he lives in Florida, so he goes to the Honda Monday qualifier.
Yeah, that makes sense. They all live around West Palm.
Yeah, they all live there, so they all go there. I mean, I think my tweet, and I'm going to screw up this, like all the exact stats, but the letter A at the Honda Classic had like 12 PGA Tour wins, like guys that last name started with A, because it was Stuart Appleby, who has 5 wins, Robert Allenby, Matt Atkins has like a Corn Ferry win. There was 3 guys, and they had like $65 million in PGA earnings, and that was with guys who started with the letter A. I mean, so I say, yeah, Q school is definitely one. I mean, if it was straight to the PGA Tour, it'd be a lot more intriguing for sure. But the Honda Monday qualifier is about as good as it gets. I mean, it's 150 guys. There's tons of, I mean, I think there was 6 guys with at least 5 wins in the field last year.
That's pretty amazing.
5 wins.
I'm
gonna have to go to that.
You and JP can meet up and have a day down there at the Honda Monday.
I'd be all content about that.
By then, you're going to be on your way. You're going to know all these girls that I follow from the PGA Tour.
Oh, no.
Social media. You're going to know Amanda Baleonis.
I'm going to be
blocked by everybody, probably.
I don't want to, like, you know, I'm for the grinders. I don't want to get, I mean, people say, like, oh, you're getting big. Like, I don't, dude, I just sit in my house and tweet, man. I'm not that big. Like, I just.
Do you ever have bad interactions with people where you're like, leave me alone. I'm just trying to have fun here.
Yeah. I mean, on a serious side, like, I have very few trolls. I'm not saying I don't, but I've had some. It's a frustrating part of it. Like it's been hard for me to like, you know, I'll get 100 great comments or messages, and I'll get two like, "You're an idiot. I just got this guy took." I don't know if you guys saw the tweet, but like, I do these fake conversations, and a guy sent me a 10-line direct message about what a moron I am for doing fake messages and like, or fake conversations. And it's like, part of me is just like, dude, I just started the account to like have fun and have something to do. I don't need to be mad about it.
Well, and I got to admit to you, I think my brother and I think we've definitely trolled you before.
Oh yeah.
There was one time where you tweeted something out and it was like, obviously you got to play good golf to make a tour event. And I think, either me or my brother tweeted out like, "Just saw my friend make 153 pointers in a row with Papa shot. Why isn't he on? Why is he not on the Wizards or something?"
Yeah. So, listen, I'm all for a good joke. I don't.
Yeah, it wasn't like, bad. We were just messing around.
Right. I'm all for a good joke, or if you want to have a debate, I'm all for that. But like, if you're mad about my like tweet, like, come on, dude.
Yeah. No. We weren't mad. We were just like, yeah. He's really good at arcade basketball. Why is he not in the NBA?
You're gonna have to be like Joe Rogan says. I don't know if you listen to his podcast. He says don't read the comments.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I have to get over for sure. Like, I'm stunned that people would take the time to write me a 10-page direct message to tell me that I'm a moron.
the only people that do that are the people that really are not worth it. Like,
yeah,
I don't read reviews on restaurants for the same reason. It's like the only people that are making these reviews are people I'm not going to be friends with.
Yeah. So as it's grown, it's definitely been hard. Or like people will say, "Hey man, you haven't got back to me," or whatever. Like, dude, I mean, like, you gotta give me, I'm just one dude. I'm sitting in my house. My kids are screaming. I can't be everywhere.
Yeah. One thing, and this might be uncomfortable, and I've never really asked people about making money or anything, but like, is there a threshold where you get so many followers to where you can make it a producing Twitter?
I mean, if I knew, I would have done. Like, I don't know. Yeah. No, there's not. Like, I mean, I say this a lot. I have no idea what I'm doing from a Twitter standpoint. I really don't. Like, I don't even know how to post a video that's not mine. You know, like take it from another account like people do. I don't know how to do it. So like, yeah. I'm sure there's ways that I could monetize this that I'm not. But I mean, really my concentration has been like, I figure the content is what is the driver of the account. So yeah. I don't want to get too deep into the account of like, of trying to find a way to monetize it. I got to figure I have a platform and that people will find me eventually. Like someone will tell me how to make money.
And sell some gear, koozies, whatever.
Yeah. 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 I got to sell some coolies and some koozies and some t-shirts. Eventually I got to find somebody to make them for me.
So hey, how much I can do that for you actually.
All right. Perfect.
So how much golf do you get to play now?
I really don't play. I mean, the serious side of this is, I mean, I joke about it, but like medical bills are a serious part of our life. And I don't have the expendable income to go play a lot of golf. I mean, my son's medical bills are out of pocket over the last 3 years have been $30,000. So, our deductible is 10 grand and his surgery was at the end of the fiscal year. And then his care was at the start of the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect timing. So, I mean, I play 5 to 6 times a year. I mean, part of it is time. Like I'm a stay at home dad. So I'm on wife, mom's day off, 2 days off. We're either catching up on stuff or whatever. And then part of it is Chicago golf is, if I want to play outside of a municipal course, it's quite expensive. So, there's a nice municipal course and I put that in quotations down the way from my house and it's $7. So
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Didn't know.
If you're live within the city limits, which I do, so I played a lot. So
is it busy?
Yeah, it's kind of busy, but if you play it like at night, they close at 5 o'clock even during the summer. But if you get there at 4, then it's pretty good. I mean, fine.
Well, one question that we always ask everybody that's been on here, and this ranges from Tommy Aaron, the Masters champion, to Patton Kizire. If you played in an event that required a caddy, would you let JP caddy for you?
Yes.
Sure. That was resounding.
we hadn't had a ton of yeses on that.
Speaking of caddies, this was another thing. In your article, you had mentioned a few mini tours, like Hooters events you had caddied in.
Yep.
What year were you doing the Hooters tour caddying?
So I did. So I did all over. So, Hooters, we did like, I know for sure we did 8, 08, 06. We did e-golf, I think 07. And then we went to Canada for a long time post or pre McKinsey tour. Cause I have a quote unquote win up there.
And I didn't mean to interrupt the talk about me caddying for you. That wasn't gonna be that exciting, but I just got triggered with that word. But now we've triggered Stuart because he was playing.
I was
all
playing the
e-golf
in the Hooters in those years. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And what years were you playing?
Let's see. So I finished school in 2006.
Okay.
And so then I played pretty much 2007, 8, 9, and then a little bit of 10.
Okay.
More on the e-golf.
Yeah.
I probably made in those years. I probably played maybe 15 Hooters events, but what Hooters events were you going to, if you remember?
So I went to the Rock Barn. Okay. I don't know why. Of all places I'd choose to caddy, that place is the worst.
So, hold on. Not sorry to interrupt, but would you and your dad just pick a Hooters tour event and go and try to find some guys on the range, or would you have, like, how does...
Yeah. I mean, like, so we'd send them an email before, and I mean, those, like, you played them, so it was. Like, the fields were so big, and there was no caddies, and it was pre-pull card or push card.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys, especially at like Rock Barn, people were looking for caddies. You know, it was pretty easy. It was not pretty easy. It was really easy to find somebody to do it. So
would you scout out the field beforehand and try to get with somebody that'd been playing good?
No, I didn't. we didn't care. I mean, in Canada, I hooked up with Ryan Yip, and he won when I caddied for him. And then I caddied for him a lot. I caddied for him in Q school, caddied for him at a couple of web events.
He's still chasing it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got to go back to first. If he's still chasing it, if he's going to Q school, he's got to go back to first stage. He finished below 100 again.
Did you ever caddy for BJ Pitson?
Caddy for who?
BJ Pitson?
No.
He was like my favorite Hooters Tour player ever. He played every event and never made a cut.
I caddied for Parker LaBarge, Michael Boudicca-Valley. I did like one Steve LeBron, one round. I think Kyle Dobbs on e-golf, and then we went to Canada, and I caddied for Ryan most every year.
I mean, I just think that's awesome that y'all would show up at mini tour events just to caddy and hang out with golf. I mean,
yeah,
that would have been awesome.
It was a great. I mean, I hope to do it with my son when it's older. I mean, it was just. I mean, it's the same as, you know, guys who don't play actual golf with their dad. I'm glad we did it. It was awesome. My dad's old now and can't do it, and we talk about those times often. I wish we would have kept a journal. There's moments that we forgot for sure, but it was an awesome tradition that I'm super happy that we did.
Yeah, I think that's pretty awesome. All right, so one other question that obviously is the Auto Press podcast. And you're playing, you sounds like when you play your golf, you're playing at a $7 municipal place.
Yes.
What's your favorite Auto Press move that you see out there on the golf course?
Oh, That's such a good question. What has everybody else said? Come on.
I mean, we've had white belts, iron covers, ball retrievers. Robert Streb last week, he was making fun. What was he making fun of?
I played with a guy at the municipal course who had the two-way chipper. I mean,
okay, there we go. That's a good one.
That's a new one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, he's like, oh, I'm against a tree. That's no problem. I got the two-way chipper.
That's a great one.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I mean, how do you not laugh at just like, all right, buddy, good job. Good for you, man.
Never knew how often those would come in handy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we're running up against our time with you here and don't want to keep you too long, but
we might have to do this again as we get further. Maybe when you get your big news, we can come on and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I'll
don't forget the little guys.
Yeah, never.
Tell everybody on if you're on, I mean, where to follow you on Twitter. I think they know, but
I mean, the easiest way to search is Monday Q Info, and then it's at Case of the Golf One. Just search Monday Q Info. It's way easier.
Are you on Instagram or any other social media?
I will be soon. I mean, I'm on social on Instagram, but I'm not doing anything with it. I'll do something with it here, hopefully, assuming things some things happen. I'll be doing it more. So.
Well, good. Well, we really appreciate it, and it's been a fun to follow.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Keep doing what you do. I'm a fan.
Looking forward to interacting soon.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right.